thing to do. Like me. I want to thank you. I want to thank the Holy Spirit for being here. Give me a hug. Amen. I want you to do it.
Times it's just overwhelming. When you taste and see the depth of how wretched people that we are. And then when you see and hear and people testify and you read about Jesus and what he's done for us, it's overwhelming. You know, we have all the things we get into is really worth nothing. All the things that we see that's so important to the world is really nothing. All the things that we hold on to so tightly that we raise and elevate higher than what it should be in our life, it's really nothing in light of the glorious Savior. Boy, we have something to sing about tonight. We've got something to testify about. And I love that. It's like the Holy Spirit just giving me a hug. I can't stop thinking about the last couple of days hearing Brother Fields when he came up here to testify, tell about to the Lord saving him. And I've not met this brother till just the other day, but when he came up here, he just hung on this board and he just, for about a minute or so, all he was doing is weeping and thanking the Lord. I didn't know what he was going to say, but I could feel it. God is so good, and maybe you have something else on your heart tonight. We just want to mind this Holy Spirit. I don't feel that you have to always be your heart beating out of your chest to testify. I'll tell you, any time we can praise the Lord is a good time.
Both of the parents. feel like I was somewhere down. I care if it go hurt like it's been me. So, you know what I'm talking about. I have to get me out of the way. And that's what I do. I just let them look at me. And the Lord will take care of it.
Yes.
But Diane will be here tomorrow night. I asked you all to pray for her. She wants to be saved so bad. That she wasn't in Sunday school or anything. So she's learning it all now. And that's hard. But not the Lord can save her. When she gets to her heart, she has to keep that house and has to feel to be saved. I said, well, you don't have to be worried about going to sleep. You told me you were scared to go to sleep. You won't be able to say. I said, because the Lord won't. So, just pray. Pray for that. And I do love everybody in here. I even love you when you come in here. I really have always loved you.
See my sister. Appreciate you.
I'm thankful for parents and grandparents to direct their kids to church and grandchildren to church. It's needed and it's important. Appreciate all that's been said and done tonight. Try to spend a little time up here and get out what the Lord has on our heart today, and with His help that He would take what is said and done, and the focus would not be on anything that of my blunders that I may speak, or the things that come out that are not important, but the Spirit would take the things that are very important and take it where they need. In the hearts of that need it tonight. And so that's been my prayer. And I kept coming back to me all day today is a scripture that Brother Stotler quoted last night. And I come to John 12, 32, Christ saying, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Kind of, I guess, give some context to this. And if you'd like to turn with me to probably one of the most read chapters in the Bible, which is John chapter 3. We're going to try to give a little utterance to the Word of God tonight. And so John chapter 3. We're going to start to pick up reading in the 14th verse, but of course we know that Jesus was here and he was speaking with Nicodemus and giving the description and speaking with him about what it is and how that he is to see the kingdom of God. And Jesus, beautiful words that said, except a man be born again, that he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was explained to him about the Spirit of God and that that is a necessity of those who have been born again, is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus continues on with this and discourse in the 14th verse. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How deep the Father's love for us. That is, I love that song. It's a great love in which it's hard to describe. It's a love in which I think in our mortal bodies it's hard for us to understand. I don't understand it. But I'll tell you, there are some times when I could feel it. Can't you? You get a little glimpse of how wonderful that Jesus is, and that the Father, in the great love in which he spared his Son and did not withhold him from what needed to be done for you and I, is just amazing. That the world through him, speaking of Jesus, might be saved. Jennifer, I want you to really listen tonight. If you have not been saved by God's grace, you need to be. He has given you another day and another opportunity to seek him. I will tell you, it may look foolish up here of a grown man weeping and crying and stuttering and stammering. And you may not understand that now, but I want you to understand, if you get the love of God within you, sometimes you just can't handle it. And they're not tears of sorrow. These are wonderful tears of his love that is overflowing in the heart of me. And it's a beautiful thing. And I want you to tell you, sinner friend, that you need this love. You need the love that is available tonight to you. It's real. This is not for show. There is nothing fake about the love of Christ. And it's what you need. But the love of Christ is not just for our enjoyment. I love feeling the Lord. It is wonderful, but it's just a little taste. When the Lord saves you, he saves you for eternity. That means forever. No more having to go back into that state of separation ever again. When the Spirit comes, he seals you forever. Oh, yeah. You need to experience it. If there's any time at all tonight, listen, you don't have to wait till the end of service. We don't hold any kind of schedule. If you know in your heart tonight that you are without God, you need to seek him. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't worry about what's going on around. Don't worry about if people might be looking at you funny. Don't worry about if you're going to bother me or not. You won't bother me. The most important thing that you got to consider tonight is your soul and where you're headed. And I want you to consider tonight the great love in which the Father has for you in giving his Son, and how He has given His Son, and that His Son and the importance of His Son dying for you is just that, that it is for you. If you need to seek the Lord, please, 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 I want to encourage you to do so. I want to look at that 14th verse for a minute. And I like to see this importance. Jesus inserted this and spoke about this for a very important reason. And I most certainly don't have all of the deepness and of why this is in here. But Jesus here in that 14th verse is referring to an event that occurred in the past. And it's something to help us, I believe, to understand even more fully about what He was planning to do. So let's take a look at this. As He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let's go back and look. The book of Numbers. In the 21st chapter. Numbers chapter 21. Here we have the children of Israel. As they are here in the wilderness, and we'll pick up in verse 4, it says, and they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had been bitten, had it bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So we have that the people were very discontented with the Lord, even though they saw some of the most amazing things I think some people historically could have ever seen, of being delivered out of Egypt. They were speaking against the Lord, and as the scripture tells us, that the Lord was displeased with them, was angry with them. And so what did the Lord do? Is he sent fiery serpents on the ground. And these fiery serpents started biting the people of God. They started biting them. The scripture tells us that when they were bit, that many were dying. There was no cure. There was no hope. And so the people came. I'm sure they didn't know what to do. I mean, can you imagine this scene where all of a sudden these fiery serpents started showing up and biting your loved ones and your friends, and they started dying? They went to Moses and said, pray to the Lord to take these serpents away from us. So Moses prayed. So the Lord answered Moses and told Moses, I want you to make a serpent of brass. I want you to put it up on a pole and tell them that everyone who gets bitten by one of these fiery serpents, if they look up to this serpent made of brass, then they will live. So, this was really relatively in the course of history, an isolated event. This was I don't know how long this ensued for, but it was a very important event that Christ used to help show us the need that was to come in Him. As we look at this and compare this a little bit with the gospel, there are some beautiful comparisons that we could pull from this. The children of Israel, there was a punishment. And the punishment came from those venomous snakes, those serpents that were sent there by God, and those bites that came from those serpents. And the consequence and punishment of getting bitten by one of them was death. Certain death. Without escape. As we look to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we see that there is a comparison of a punishment that you and I have to deal with. And we see in the scriptures that that punishment and the modes of that punishment is sin. You see, sin is amongst every one of us tonight. There is a punishment for sin. There is not a single human being, aside from Jesus Christ, that sin has not affected. Scriptures tell us that the punishment that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means you, and that means me. That means everybody that we come in contact with outside of these doors fall under this curse. It is our punishment. And the punishment for sinning against God is what? Death. Very similar, isn't it, to being bit. But there's something that is even greater in this punishment that we need to address. Because there in the book of Numbers, when they would get bit and there was certain death to ensue, it was only physically. I mean, that's pretty bad. The sin and the curse in which we have on us and the penalty of our sin is death. But I want to tell you tonight, it is more than just a physical death. We are all going to physically die. Just in case you didn't know. Death is all around us. It doesn't take long to find out. Walking in this world and seeing the news and reading about things, death happens every single day. And the reason why people die is because of sin. One of these days, I'm going to die. It's going to be expected. This old body is decaying because of sin. It's not pleasant. But there's something else that occurs with our penalty, which is that of death. And something that is even greater than physical death. You know, we oftentimes we consider the physical death is really a very, very, very big deal, and it is. But there's something greater. And it's something that every one of us has to deal with, and that is death spiritually. You see, we are created beings made in the image of God, and there is this outer flesh that most certainly is going to feel the death of physically. But there is a part of us and you here tonight that is something that you can't see. It's something that is deeper, that makes you very unique, that is something that is very special, and that is the spirit that is within you. So we have this outward flesh, and we have the inward that is spirit. And this penalty of sin, which is death, not only comes in the physical form, but there's going to come a time, and there may be some here tonight that have not experienced this spiritual death. But I want you to know that it's real. It's every bit as real as physical death is going to be. And it's more important tonight to you, sinner friend, because this spiritual death that we're speaking of, it's something that is eternal. You see, physical death is temporary. It's quick and temporary. But that spirit that lies within you that is going to die one day, if you have not experienced that, is eternal. And you are without hope. What does death mean, by the way? I want to be as simple as we can. Death means separation. I want the youngest of those here to understand that tonight. When you lose a loved one to death, what happens is you become separated from them. A lot of times it's a sad occasion, isn't it? And that is a reality. But I want you to understand tonight that the separation, the death that comes internally, spiritually, between you and the Lord is a real thing. If you have not, and we call that being lost and separated from God, there's going to come a point in time when your sin is revealed to you spiritually, that the Lord is going to prick your heart and going to reveal within your heart that you are separated from God. And this is an eternal thing. And He reveals Himself, your sin reveals itself in you in a way that you know about. It's something that the preacher can't see within you and nobody else. So there is a big difference. Death physically and death spiritually, which is eternal. When the Lord lets you know that you are separated from Him, it comes in ways for me that Sister Levon mentioned. I became scared of death, of dying, physically. This little old boy, I was probably around 10 years old or 11. The age doesn't, please don't get connected on what age. I was afraid to die. There was something within me that wasn't right. And sometimes you can't explain that. Sometimes it's an uneasy feeling, knowing that you are separated from God. But I want you to know today that the Lord knows your heart. And if you're separated from Him, He wants you to come to Him. And we're going to get there. We're going to get there. But death spiritually. There was a cure for the children of Israel that were getting bit. And it was a very simple cure. Moses made a serpent made out of brass. I thought about this, that when God gave him the instruction for this, it would have taken a little bit of time to make that serpent. He would have had to somehow find the brass to make it with. And then he had to fashion it and form it in a way that would resemble a serpent. And how you would have bent that brass, I imagine it would have taken some kind of tools to do, maybe some heat. It had to get pounded maybe beaten. It had to get manipulated and formed. And then that serpent made out of brass had to get put on a pole. And then it had to be lifted up high for all that can see. There's a cure for you in your sin sickness tonight, friend. And it's Christ. It took a while. It took some time. For Christ's time to come. Scripture tells us that he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That sometime in eternity past that it was ordained that Jesus was going to come. And the many prophecies that prophesied his coming and what he was to come to do and why he was coming to do it was going to be fulfilled just as if it was already happened. It said that Christ, the Messiah, was to come and to be born of a virgin, which was very, very... Because Christ, in order to be the cure for our sin sickness, had to be without sin. There was no sin within Jesus. Jesus had to be perfect. He was without sin, and the demands and the fulfilling of the law had to be met. And that was no easy feat. Because of our sinful nature, there was no mankind that was able to fulfill all of the demands of the law that would satisfy the Father. What was the price? What was the price for this cure? I'll tell you, it was expensive. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he would give his only son. Isn't that what John 3:16 says? What was the price? Oh, it was expensive. Jesus came. He willingly came down to earth. He was in heaven in perfection, and the fulfillment of time came finally. All of the prophecies, all of the prophets, they were all looking forward to the Messiah coming. They were ready. And finally he came. And the angels rejoiced. And he came and was tempted on all sides, yet without sin. And Jesus was obedient unto his Father unto the end. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a wonderful, beautiful truth tonight. Jesus, who is our cure, who is our Savior, willingly showed himself to be God in the flesh. Even when he came on earth, it took some time before he began his earthly ministry. And he showed himself to be God by the many wonderful works that he performed, the miracles in which he was able to do. And I'll tell you, look at those miracles. Oh, what a beautiful imagery of what he does within the heart of a man to allow the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the crippled to walk. He forgave sin. He forgave sinners when he was here. He showed love perfectly to all that he came in contact with. He did it willingly. And when it was time to come, Jesus came into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus knew that it was time, that the Father was said, it's being prepared, it's about time. And as he was in that garden, Jesus was on his knees praying. And he said, not my will, but thine be done, Lord. And the agony was upon him, and he knew that it was his time. And there in that garden, they came to arrest him, and Jesus willingly went with them. His disciples did not want him to go and try to put up a fight, but Jesus, out of the great love, out of the great responsibility, out of the great love that he has for you, sinner friend, he willingly went. He was humiliated. He was spit upon. This is Jesus. It was perfect. He was beaten. I got to see that he was being formed. He was in pain. He was scourged. His visage, his body was so marred. I think he wasn't identifiable too well, I don't believe. He could have stopped it all. He was mocked as being the king of the Jews. They put a crown, not of gold on his head, but a crown of thorns. And they didn't just set it on his head. They beat it on his head. And then the time was coming as He had to bear the cross. To Golgotha's hill. And when he got up there, he somehow had to fulfill prophecy, and he had to be lifted up. He was lifted up on a pole. They nailed his hands to the wood. They nailed his feet. By the way, this was a form of torture. And it was not created by God. It was created by man. But he willingly went. And he willingly hung as they set that pole or that wood of cross, and they set it up high. And he was dangling in the air between the heavens and the earth for all to see. Yeah. You see, Jesus, when he died and he was doing this, he did not die in secret. He did not die in some dungeon. He did not die by any other ways that could have been less hurtful. He was wounded for our transgressions. You see, he got what I deserved. Christ did not deserve to die. He did not deserve the beatings, the whippings. He did not deserve the humiliation, the scoffing. But yet he did, because he loved you and he loved me. That kind of love is in, I just can't comprehend. But he was up there on that tree and he was lifted high. But I'll tell you that it wasn't those nails that held him on that cross. You know what it was? It was your sin. It was my sin. He stayed. He stayed until it was finished. He stayed until his father was satisfied, as he was alone and his father turned away. All of creation from the beginning of time was looking forward to that time and that moment. The cure for sin. The spotless, sinless Lamb who willingly was shedding his blood to atone for sin. That wasn't it. We know that when Christ died, the darkness fell, I believe, over the world, and there was a quake. Where he lives is finished. But that alone doesn't save you. That serpent that was on that pole, just because it was there, did not save them. There were some other requirements. And this is for us. Those that were in the wilderness that got bit, they knew they were bit. And they knew that death was a sure thing. What did they have to do? They were told some crazy outlandish thing, that all they had to do is look up to that snake, that serpent made out of brass, and then you'll live. That's it. But think about how crazy that would have sounded. Why? All they had to do is look up at that That serpent made out of brass, that's it? Woo-wee! That sounds good! But they had to believe enough to do that. Santa friend, there's requirements. That have to be taken care of before salvation comes. Dear friend, if you're lost and you're separated from Christ tonight, you're in a bad situation. You are eternally doomed for hell. And on your own and by yourself, you can do nothing. Do you feel the weight of your sin tonight? I'm thankful tonight that we have something to sing about, to testify about, to preach about, and to tell you about tonight, that there is one hope and one hope only for you. But I'm thankful that I have a message of hope, aren't you? I'm thankful that we have something to tell people about. That sinful nature that you have within you, that separation that you know about here, there is a remedy tonight. Jesus Christ that gave His life for you, yes, He gave His life for you, is available for you as a cure for your sin sickness tonight. He is by His blood able alone to give you what you need. Why don't you turn to Jesus tonight? The gospel needs to be preached. You are hearing about Jesus tonight. You've got to acknowledge your sinfulness. If you turn and run away, you're never going to get it. You're going to remain in your sin, sickness, and your separation. And it's, remember, death of your soul is for eternity. And there's only one cure. Do you want Jesus tonight? He was lifted up for you. Jesus is your only hope. The Holy Spirit is here to draw you to Him. That's that weight. When you feel the weight of your sin, it's the goodness of God that is letting you know that you're separated from Him. And in you acknowledging that, He wants you to come to Him. And He wants you to come to Him with faith, knowing that He can save you alone. You've got to repent and turn from your sin and acknowledge that that man that we told you about tonight, Jesus Christ, is the only way that it was your sin that held Him there. He paid the ultimate price for you tonight. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with Jesus tonight? You've got to repent and believe in Christ alone, by grace. Do you think those in the wilderness, when they looked up at that serpent, do you think they knew that they were going to live? I do. Sinner friend, I know this by my own experience. That when you look up to Christ, and you seek Him with all of your heart, He will give you the assurance that you need to know that you have been eternally made free. That assurance comes from the Holy Spirit. He takes away all of that fear of death and dying. Wouldn't it be good tonight if all that could be taken care of? Wouldn't it be good if you could get your soul satisfied in Christ? It was good for me. When the Lord saved my soul, it was just a peace. I was praying on the altar, and I was calling on God because I didn't want to die. I wanted Jesus more than anything. And it wasn't the words that I was saying. It was the condition of my heart. You see, that's where God sees tonight. That's what He wants. But there's nothing that we could do. There was nothing that I could have done that night. But you know what He wanted? He wanted all of my brokenness. And then just like that, you know, all of it was gone. I couldn't pray anymore. I felt relief inside. It was just peace. And you know, it was wonderful having to go to revival services after that and not having to worry about a single thing. Oh, it was good. I didn't have to worry about the invitation song. I didn't have to worry about any of those things that as a kid I used to worry about. I used to fret. Like, oh, here it comes. All gone. But you know, the wonderful thing also about all of it, there's so many good things. Death and the penalty that I had to face was no longer there. This old body's gonna go back to the grave, which it was hewn. It's gonna go back to the ground. I don't fear that. The Lord made me perfect inside. And guess what? I'm going to live forever, not in hell. I'm going to live forever with Jesus now, not because of what anybody told me. It's because of the assurance in which He gave me in my soul. And that assurance He could give you tonight. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's permanent.
Amen.
It never leaves.
Amen.
You'll have a best friend. You'll have a Heavenly Father that loves you just so dearly, that will be there with you through all of the rest of your life, who will never leave you nor forsake you. Not because you're good, but because He is.
Amen.
And because of the great love that He has for you tonight in giving His only begotten Son. Maybe brother get a song. That's all I know. What are you going to do tonight, sinner friend? There's only one cure for you. There is only one way. This world is so messed up. Under the guise of Christianity, mankind has corrupted the gospel message and think you could get saved all kinds of different ways. That's not what I read. That's not what I have experienced. There is one way. You can't get it gradually. Christ died once and for all. There isn't by any good works that you or I can do. No baptism. No repeating prayers. It's something that you've got to come and lay your sin and all about you in front of Jesus Himself. And when the requirements are met, when you repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Him, I'll tell you, when He helps you to do that right there, it's going to be the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Will you come to Jesus tonight? Will you seek Him while He is near?
$2.93.